Well, good morning. Morning. I always enjoy standing up here and seeing your faces. We have visitors. We have people that are not visitors, some we've never seen before, some we haven't seen in a while. It's good to see everybody. It's funny how people end up in Clarksville for different reasons. So we're whatever has brought you here to North 2nd Street, we're glad you're here. Man, I feel like stopping and talking to a bunch of you, but I will not do that. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, please. We're going to talk about baptism, sort of, and we're going to talk about Christianity, sort of, and we're going to talk about forgiveness of sins, sort of. We're going to talk about all those things, but we're going to talk about this phrase, lordship salvation. What does that mean to say lordship salvation? Well, it has to do with a relationship. One of the many mistakes that a lot of denominational churches make is they say, let Jesus into your heart. Let Jesus become your personal Savior. That's not the relationship. That's not the scriptural relationship between God and man. The proper relationship is between Lord or King and servant. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 25? Well done, thou good and faithful friend of mine. Well done, thou good and faithful buddy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Peter, when he preaches the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he gets to the conclusion of his sermon. Never forget, the conclusion of Peter's sermon is not Acts 2:38. The conclusion is Acts 2:36. This Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. King. Jesus is a king. Kings have kingdoms, and kingdoms and kings have servants. Kings have subjects. Well, guess who's going to be saved? We talk about baptism. We talk about it being for the forgiveness of sins. We talk about hearing and believing and all those things. That's great. Who's going to be saved is who's in the kingdom. Who's serving the king? So let's ask ourselves some questions this morning and talk about this idea of lordship salvation. So first, I think we need to ask two questions. That we think about, we say these things, and I don't think we always put them together. Is Jesus our Savior? Well, I think our instinctual answer is yes. Does baptism save us? Also yes. Well, that's almost two separate things. If baptism saves me, do I need Jesus? If baptism doesn't save me, why do I need Jesus? Jesus saves the baptized. That's the key. Jesus saves those who put themselves in right relationship to God through him. God is almighty. God, as the scripture was read to us earlier from Matthew chapter 28, has given all authority. He's given lordship. He's given kingship to Christ. And those who want to be saved by Christ must come into right relationship with him. That right relationship includes baptism. Baptism is the pathway for that right relationship, but that right relationship is lordship. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says this. It says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins there is tied. That is a verse about baptism, by the way. That's how we're transferred. But the forgiveness of sins is not necessarily the power of the water so much as the power of the relationship. It's Jesus that saves. It's God that forgives. Baptism is not a magic abracadabra event. It is not a work. It is not even a work of obedience, although I need to obey to be baptized. It is an act of submission to a king. And once I come into that right relationship, and I can't come into that right relationship without baptism, then I'm one of the people who Jesus will save. So let's talk about that. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and I'll just go through these briefly. My goal, believe it or not, is to be out of here to get this sermon over in 30 minutes. I've been pushing 34, 36. I had like a 39er. I know you guys record these things. So we're going to try to get out of here in 30 minutes. So if you don't mind, we'll go a little bit quickly. Is Jesus a Savior? That's our first question. Well, obviously He is. He's Savior from beginning to end. Before He was born into this world, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For unto you this you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Matthew chapter 21 and 9, when Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, what do the people say? "Hosanna in the highest." If you've been through a Bible class, if you've heard a good sermon on that, you know what that word means. It means save now. Save now. We need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. Yes, our forgiveness of sins is tied to baptism, but our baptism is more importantly tied to Lordship. And when we understand that, we hopefully can discard some of the false teaching that's out there in the world, but we also can more properly understand our relationship and our duty and what we should be doing as Christians. Baptism is not some ticket to ride to heaven that we just wave in God's face when we die. Baptism is about being translated, transferred from one kingdom to another. Exchanging a self for Christ. Coming under the control of the Master, the one who will bring His kingdom and take it over to the Lord. So is Jesus our Savior? Yes. Well, then how is it that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 makes any sense? Do you understand that what I mean by the dichotomy here? It seems as almost we have one thing that saves us in baptism, and Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I think we would say, well, our baptism is by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's correct. But it's also a better understanding to know that Jesus saves the baptized. Baptized is more of a time element than it really is anything else. It is the moment when we take the oath. I used an old bulletin today from several years ago about the idea of becoming a soldier and about the fact that once you become a soldier, those decisions are made for you. Your life is not your own. Once you become a soldier, and if they want to say you need to go to Iraq, well, you don't get to go, well, let's talk about it. You go. Why? Because you've taken the oath. Right? Once you take the oath of being a soldier, your decisions are made. Well, Christianity is the same way. Baptism is, if you'll allow this, is the oath. It is the confession. In fact, Peter refers to it that way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I'm going to guess that when I ask the question, does baptism save us, that this is the verse most of you had in mind. So let's read it and see what we can find out from it. It says, "Baptism, which now saves us, corresponds to this." Excuse me, I read that wrong. "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been," see that word right there? "Subjected to Him." Our baptism saves us because we've come into a subjection relationship. It is an appeal to God to save us. I love that phrase right there, an appeal to God for a good conscience. Have you ever heard the phrase, throw yourself on the mercy of the court? That's what my baptism is. I throw myself on the mercy of the court through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that God will save me. That God will justify me, that I will come into a right relationship with Him. That right relationship is lordship. That right relationship is faith, yes, that Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended for my sins. That's a clear understanding. But it is also an understanding that He is Lord and He is King. And what I'm saying is, God, please forgive me. I will do what You've asked me to do. I will put my will under the will of Your Son. I will become subject to Him. And when I become subject to Him in baptism, that's when I'm saved. But there's this idea, and you've heard me say this before, there is a sin. If someone ever asks you, are you saved, please say yes. If you're assuming you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, don't say that yet, and we can solve that here in just a minute. But if you're a Christian, say yes. Because my baptism brings me into right relationship with God. Okay, now there is a sense in which I have been saved at my baptism. I am being saved. Paul says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I will be saved. Okay? I am saved. I've been baptized. I am being saved. I am walking in a right relationship with God and His Son, who I've made my king. I'm serving in the kingdom. And I will be saved. Matthew chapter 25 is a scene of the end times. Is a scene of the judgment. Who's getting in? Who's going to be saved? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I am saved. I've come into a right relationship with God. I remain in a right relationship with God by my service. And then when I die, it's Jesus that saves me in the end. So that's how my baptism saves me. Take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41. The reason I use this is because the language that Peter uses here about save yourself, I think that can be confusing to some extent because we don't save ourselves, but we do receive grace. It is our decision as to whether I will be saved. Jesus has paid the price. I am the one who must have faith. I am the one who must commit. So there is that sense in which it is my action that is the thing that saves me, Peter says here. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So yes, baptism saves me. If I save myself from this crooked generation, what do? I'm baptized. That's what that text tells us. Peter tells people to save themselves, get ready, Jesus is coming back. Get in a right relationship. When they do that, how do they do that? By they are baptized. And we know what Acts 22 and 16 says. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on his name. It is true that Jesus saves us. It is true that baptism saves us. But baptism saves us how? Because it brings us into right relationship with God through his Son. And there's one other thing we need to understand about our baptism. It brings us into contact with the death of Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 6, if you don't mind. Paul here is going to tell us how baptism saves us. Baptism saves us because it is a confession of the fact that I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. I did a video recently on the idea of the thief on the cross. I've done a sermon on this as well. If you ever get into a discussion with somebody about that, remember this. There's no way that the thief on the cross could have had Christian baptism. It's not possible. Not possible. Because Christian baptism represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the time the thief on the cross was saved by Jesus, and he had the power to do that. That's the other answer to that. There was no way for him to have actually been baptized as a Christian because of this teaching in Romans chapter 6 about what that baptism is. Christian baptism could not have occurred until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, if you don't mind. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What's the church? What's the kingdom? It's the body of Christ. How do I get into that? Baptism. Baptism saves us because it transfers me into the kingdom. And Jesus is going to save those in the kingdom. That's the basic understanding of what the Scripture teaches. The other thing is it baptizes us into the death of Jesus Christ. It baptizes us into the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ. I crucify my flesh as Christ went to the cross and crucified his fleshly body. I crucify my fleshly desires. Why? Because I'm not king anymore. There's a time in which I'm king. And I follow after the lust of the flesh. I follow after the kingdom of this world. But to be translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I have to crucify that, and I'm baptized into a death of myself to rise and walk in a newness of life in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the Spirit of God that brings life to our mortal bodies when we're resurrected from the dead. That death is Christ's death. And when we come out of the water, we rise to walk in newness of life. Serving Jesus as our King. Benefiting from the blood He shed on the cross. That's how baptism saves us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You've heard me use this verse 1,000 times. For our sake He made Him to be sin who had no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In Him. In Him the righteousness of God. Does it mean I become as righteous as God? No. It means I come into a right standing with God. This is key to understanding this phrase. To understand the righteousness of God here means I have come into a right standing with God. Why? Because Jesus paid a price I could not. God put His precious Lamb on the cross, Jesus the Christ. He who had no sin to be sin for me. He suffered a death He did not have to. He paid a price He did not have to because I cannot. To make me right with God, that's our problem. Our sin problem is a righteousness problem. My sin problem is a right standing problem. As long as I remain in sin, as long as I remain in the world and I'm not in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I'm not in right standing with God. So what's going to happen at the end of time? I'm going to be cast out. So how do I solve my sin problem? I have to be in Jesus Christ. How do I get in Jesus Christ? I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 26. If you haven't turned to a scripture, please turn to this one. There's more sermon here than I'm going to give. So if you're sitting there thinking, man, why didn't you say this or why didn't you say that? Duly noted. I feel your pain. But I just want to touch on a couple of things. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know where that verse is in the Bible. That's Romans 3, 23. That's our problem. Our problem is we are not in right standing with God. And we're going to have to face Him one day. And if we're not in right standing with God, we're going to be cast out. Verse 24 begins the solution. And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The price that was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. What do I come into contact with at my baptism? The death and the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? So that I may be justified because of works that I do? No. Because of my goodness? No. Because I'm such a wonderful servant of God? No. Justified as a gift that God gives the servant. That God gives the citizens of the kingdom. Because to come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ is to come into a right relationship with God. I told you I was going to make this lesson short. Romans chapter 4 talks about justifying the ungodly. I believe it's verse 5. You know who's ungodly? Me. The miracle of salvation is that I am sinful. I'm sinful when I'm outside the kingdom. Y'all, I'm sinful when I'm inside the kingdom compared to Jesus Christ. I have sin. God made He who had no sin to be sin for me, that in Him I might become the righteousness of God, that I might be justified freely, that even though I am sinful and I am guilty, I am forgiven. Because God is just and He will judge me by His standard. And by His standard, y'all, I am ungodly. And I am guilty. And I deserve punishment. Yet I will be justified. I will be made to stand right because I'm in Christ. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over sins. The idea of being propitious means God's wrath is turned to a smile. God's wrath toward me as a sinner is turned to a smile. That's what it means to have a propitiation, to be made propitious. Big word, I know. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Ooh. Let me tell you something. God is just. And every sin will have its penalty paid. But God is also the justifier, because it is he who sent the sacrifice. Never forget the grace of God is God's grace sent through his Son. Yes, it's Jesus that died on the cross, but it's God who sacrificed him. It's God who sent him. And it's God who gave this Son a kingdom. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Guess what I'm going to have to answer for? Did I bow the knee? My faith in Christ Jesus here means that I trust him, that I become subject to him, that I bow my knee before him, that I sacrifice my will, and I say like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's lordship. And those are the ones who are going to be saved. Baptism saves us by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, and it saves those who bend the knee. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we'll read verses 8 through 11. I'm assuming we're all familiar with this verse. We should be familiar with Romans. Most of us are familiar with Romans chapter 10 because of Romans chapter 17. And that's a good verse to know. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or word of Christ. But in this same context, Paul is talking about how salvation comes to every man. He's using a quote here in verse 8 from the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is saying, here, I've given you these Ten Commandments. God has given you these Ten Commandments. You don't have to climb a mountain to find them. You don't have to go to the bottom of the depths of the sea to do them. You can do these things. That's the context in which Paul begins this quote. So verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Is that true? Absolutely it's true. To become a Christian, do I have to believe that God made he who had no sin to be sin for me, that in him I might become the righteousness of God? Yes. Do I have to believe in a crucified Jesus? Yes. Do I have to believe in a resurrected Jesus? Yes. Do I have to believe in a Lord? Also, yes. Do I have to confess him? Also, yes. How do I do that? Is it words? It's words. But it's about my life. It's about taking the oath. It's about actually submitting. It's about actually serving. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11, 9 through 11, talks about this same idea. Paul is saying, have this mind in you as it was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He came down, lived as a man, died on the cross for our sins. That's a rough paraphrase of the next few verses. But then he gets to talking about this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Reads like this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. What does it mean to say he's highly exalted him? He's given him a kingdom. He's given him a crown. He's worth, the Lamb is worthy, Revelation chapter 4. Why? So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, now in that verse, Preacher Man, it says I got to bow the knee. Romans chapter 10 didn't say anything about bowing the knee. Yes, it did. They're all the same thing. You don't confess someone to be king who you don't bow the knee to. You don't confess someone to become king who you do not obey. You do not come into a kingdom without being translated or transferred into that kingdom. How do I come into Christ? How do I confess that I believe Jesus is Lord? By submitting to him in baptism. I don't work in my baptism. Don't misunderstand anything about this. There's not one thing that you do. You might change clothes into a baptismal garment. You don't have to do that. You submit. I am baptized. I don't baptize myself. I give up my will. I give up my life. I give up the power of my own decisions. And I say, Lord, I believe you will save those who are in the kingdom. I want the reward of the kingdom. I will follow you. I will be born again of water and the Spirit. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 28. This is our final verse today. I want you to notice how Jesus ties his lordship with salvation. Notice how he ties his lordship with salvation. Look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. And one of the things we do in our Wednesday night Bible study is we look for terms of conclusion, right? For just a moment, let me shake your head a little bit on that. We mark with the inductive Bible study series. We use different colored pens to look for things. One of the things we look for is terms of conclusion. In other words, this thing is because of this thing, or this thing is tied to this thing, or this thing would not occur unless this first thing occurred. So let's look at what occurs first in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What's that mean? Same thing Peter said in Acts chapter 2:36. This Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord, he's given him all power and all authority, and Christ. Jesus is king. We're transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Our salvation is in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I have been given a kingdom because of my faithful obedience to God, because I was willing to go to the grave, because I was willing to pay the price, because I was willing, Hebrews chapter 10, to say, Lord, a body you have prepared for me. Jesus, while he was in heaven, took on a body he knew would suffer on the cross. And as the great reward for that, God has said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So when Jesus comes up out of that grave, he's glorified and he's given a kingdom, and God has given him a name above all names, Philippians chapter 2. And God himself has said, everyone needs to bow to my Son. I have given him a crown. And let me tell you something right now. You do not want to get to the last day without having bowed the knee. Then Jesus says, go therefore. Because I am king, because I have been given all authority, because I have paid the price, because my blood is powerful enough to forgive the sins of all mankind, go therefore and make disciples, followers, learners, servants, citizens. How do I do that, Jesus? You know the answer, right? You bring them into right relationship with God because you bring them into right relationship with me. And the right relationship with God is crucifying my will and my flesh and rising to walk a life led by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, in other words, because of this, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is a Christian? Christian is someone who's made Jesus Christ their Lord in faith. That he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that God raised him from the dead never to die again, that he can save those who serve, teaching them to obey all things as I've commanded you even to the end of the age. Right? That's what service means. How, if I want to come into this country, I want to be an American, I have to learn what Americans do. If I want to be a Christian and I want to come into his kingdom, I have to learn what Christ does. It's simple. It's the moment of our relationship. And those who are in right relationship with Christ, God justifies. Or as we might say, forgives our sins. Because we're guilty. And God will forgive those who serve his Son. So the question for us this morning is, am I in a right relationship with God? And that question extends to, am I in a right relationship with Jesus, his Son, who he's glorified, who he's raised up, who he's given a name above all names. God himself has declared, I will bow the knee. Because let me tell you something, you're going to bow the knee. Now or later. There used to be an old set of commercials when I was a kid by Fram Oil Filters. And there'd be a mechanic, and he's talking about how much it would cost you to have your new engine put in. And he said, you can pay me now, $2 at the time for an oil filter, or you can pay me later. Same with Jesus Christ. Jesus saves those who serve him. My baptism brings me into Christ. My baptism confesses that I believe Jesus was buried and raised. And baptism saves me by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God who gave his Son. This is a small fort in the fortress, a small outpost, waging spiritual warfare on this community, encouraging and building up the saved, spreading the gospel. That's who we are. That's what the Church of Christ at North Second is. That's what any church is. And individually, we are Christians who've taken the oath, who submitted to the Lord. If you're not a servant of the King, you need to be. Count the cost. You'll have to crucify your will. There's no doubt about it. Yes, you will have to do the things that Jesus says to do. Yes, you will have to live a life that the people of God should live. But oh, the reward. Oh, the peace of mind. Oh, the forgiveness. What a benevolent and loving master we have who gave himself for us. If you've never been baptized, if you've never been brought into the kingdom, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord this morning as we stand and we sing.